Good morning and welcome to History Matters, the programme that looks into history in depth and looks at why it matters. Today we're talking about the Crimean War, or in fact the Crimean Campaign. The campaign was part of an attempt by the UK, France and what later turned out to be Italy to contain Russia's expansion south and west. Also a country that stood on its route to expansion was Turkey, and so in a rather unexpected way the UK became an ally of Turkey, France and Sardinia in fighting Russia. We're very lucky to have Justin Maciejewski, MBE, who is the Director General of the National Army Museum in London, England. Justin has a very distinguished career. Before he became the Director General, he was in the Royal Armoured Corps and in the infantry. He was in the 2nd Battalion in Iraq. He was given a DSO there. He also has an outstanding academic background, King's College, Cambridge, Oxford, you name it, he's got it. Good morning. Welcome to the programme.
It's a pleasure to be joining you and your listeners this morning.
Justin, could you tell us about your museum, the National Army Museum in London?
Yes, certainly, Adam. We are a Royal Charter museum here in London, and our mission here is to tell the story of our army and the soldiers who've served in it. And that's the soldiers, all the soldiers from around the world who have served under the British Crown over the centuries. And we've been here in Chelsea, here in the heart of London, since 1970, and we have a world-class collection that stretches back from sort of contemporary operations right the way back to the middle of the 17th century, the 1600s, and the British Civil Wars, where the army was formed from those civil wars. So it's an amazing collection, and for any of your listeners, when you are over in London visiting, you must come and see us at the National Army Museum.
And where in London are you?
We're in Chelsea. So Sloane Square is our nearest tube station. And we're right by the river, near the river, River Thames, in the heart of this great global city. Well, we have an incredible archive with nearly a million objects in
Goodness.
It, ranging from, you know, Napoleon's horse, Marengo, through to the robes worn by Lawrence of Arabia in the First World War, through to some incredible objects.
Well, that does sound fascinating.
The Crimean War that we're going to talk about this morning, and of course, contemporary operations and indeed operations in the 18th century. So, I mean, it's an incredible collection which tells the story of this army, which has really shaped world history in so many ways.
You must be very proud of it, and rightly so. I wanted to ask you, how does the National Army Museum tell the story of the Crimean campaign?
The British Army historically has three roles, going right the way back to its earliest roots. The first one is to defend our island home here in Britain. The second one is to go anywhere in the world and operate in support of British interests. And the third role, and this is really crucial, is the British Army throughout its history has become involved in Europe, in European conflicts, in order to sustain and maintain what we call the balance of power. In other words, Britain sends soldiers to the continent of Europe to fight when it believes the balance of power is being threatened by any individual power, be it France, Germany, Russia, or indeed anyone else. And of course, the Crimean War very much sits inside that tradition of sending soldiers anywhere in Europe in order to maintain the balance of power. And at that time, obviously, we believed that the Russian bear and Russia was threatening the balance of power. And so working with French allies and Italian allies and Turkish allies, we deployed to the Crimea to, if you like, contain Russia.
That is very interesting. That's a very interesting summary. Would you be able to tell our listeners, how does it actually tell the story of the Crimean campaign? Does it? Are there any artifacts that you have? Is there an ongoing exhibition? I mean, is it one of many exhibitions? How does it work within the museum?
Well, Adam, we tell the story within the context of the British Army's engagement with Europe over the centuries. And in terms of objects, we have some sort of iconic objects. Obviously, the charge of the Light Brigade is one of the tragic events of British military history that took place in the Crimea. And of course, we've got saddles and uniforms and weapons that all relate to that day at Balaclava, and we got the order that deployed the cavalry brigade on that fateful charge.
So the original order.
We've got the actual written order, the handwritten piece of paper, the very confusing order that was written to deploy the cavalry that day. So we've got objects that relate to the cavalry and indeed, the soldiers more widely in the Crimean War. The other very significant role that the Crimean War has in British social history is that it really saw the evolution of modern nursing in support of the wounded soldiers. So we've got lots of objects in the museum that we display that also tell the story of Florence Nightingale and the nurses that supported the wounded soldiers in Scutari and other places. So if you like, we tell a sort of social story, but also very much a military story in the museum through our collection.
That's very unusual, in fact, because military museums or sites usually tend to focus on the men and the fighting, whereas here you have the actual support and the compassion, and the majority of the nurses, of course, at that time were women.
You know, war drives so many innovations in human history.
Absolutely.
And in the Crimean War, really the innovation that was driven by that war from a British perspective was the innovation in medical care for those people who were wounded. And of course, those nurses brought back what they'd learnt in the Crimea, and that began to transform nursing here in the UK as well. So the tradition of modern nursing that we have in the UK really has its roots in the Crimean War, which is a fascinating history.
That certainly is. Moving on to more contemporary issues, Europe tried to stop Russian ambitions back in the 1850s. Why doesn't it try to stop or limit Russian, let's say, ambitions in that part of the world now?
Well, I think we do. NATO, with its deployments of battle groups in the Baltic states and also in Poland as well. The deployment of the Royal Navy into the Black Sea recently, working with the Romanian Navy and other navies in the Black Sea. I think that in many ways, some of the themes that you see emerging in the Crimean War in the 1850s are kind of playing out today. The Crimean War was followed by some operations in the Baltic by the British, in the same way that today we have the British working as part of NATO alongside NATO allies like Poland to contain Russian ambitions in the sort of Baltic region, but also the Black Sea. So I think the tradition of British engagement with continental Europe and the security of Europe, it continues today.
Well, that's very, very comforting to hear, especially as, unlike in the 1850s, there is a very strong ally for Western Europe and particularly for Britain in the person of Poland, which has re-emerged as a stronger military power in this region. So that's good that the two countries that are traditionally friends, I believe they're the only two countries in Europe that have actually never been at conflict with each other, but it's good that these two countries are working together for what at the end of the day is for peace in Europe and around the world. Justin, you've had a tremendous career and are continuing to have a tremendous career both in the army and in a leading institution. You've reached the peaks of what is possible in any society. You have an understanding of Europe. You have an understanding of the military. You have an understanding of Britain and of Poland. Many people in Poland do look towards figures like yourself for messages.
First of all, I would be incredibly proud of my heritage. Obviously, I'm very proud of my Polish heritage myself. You know, I'm half Polish through my father, and that's a great source of pride. History is so important in shaping our identity and in teaching us lessons around geostrategy and what matters. But my message, I think, for young people in Poland today would be to be confident, to be open to the world. At the same time, I would also always be mindful of those emerging threats to Poland's east, which haven't gone away, and that's why NATO is so important. So be engaged in politics and strategy and learning from history. So I would say be proud, be open, learn from history, particularly for the people of Gdansk, with very strong links to this country in Britain. And I would say my last thing would be, you know, you have close friends here in Britain. The British people have very deep affections for Poland and the Polish people. We have over 1 million Poles living in our country, and they've been a wonderful addition to our society. We have strong links, you know, stretch back to this Hanseatic history that we share between, you know, cities like London and cities like Gdansk. And I think over the coming decades, we need to revitalize those bilateral links so that we can continue to work together on, you know, shared challenges. And we are very proud in this museum to have some objects that relate to this shared history between Poland and Britain, in particularly in the Second World War, and of course the amazing contribution made by Polish soldiers within the British armies in Northwest Europe and Italy. You have friends over here. Come and visit us. Be proud of your past. Learn from the past of others and remain open to the world. That would be my message.
Justin Maciejewski, MBE, many thanks. The programme that's going out later today, which will focus on the Crimea, is produced together with the Museum of the Second World War. And we're very lucky to have a representative from the Museum of the Second World War, Mr. Karol Szejko. Good morning.
Good morning, Adam. Good morning, listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to ask you straight away, how is the Crimean campaign seen in Poland today?
First of all, I think Crimean War is a very interesting conflict, partly because of what you said. I mean, those alliances that formed were not obvious. They came out in a rather surprising way, possibly. And after the Crimean War, there's been a massive change in European relations. And for instance, the country of Italy was formed.
Exactly. Well, the historian in you is coming out very clearly. But my question is, how is it seen today in Poland?
I don't believe Crimean War is understood at all in Poland, because if you ask people in Poland, if you ask the general public,
what happened, they
would know about possibly the wars or the battles of the Second World War. They would know about the battles of World War One. But if you ask anybody about like Crimean War, who's not a historian, people will probably not even know what it is or what it was and where it was. So I don't think Crimean War is at all known.
It doesn't
to
focus
the general,
on people.
Yeah. It just doesn't resonate.
Why do you think that is?
And I think it's not seen as a conflict, as a war that had this pan-European or global significance. Kind of like a local conflict in the Crimea, involving Britain, involving France and Russia, trying to push their agenda, and those countries going into the war. So it's not actually that well known in Poland.
Do you think Poland's position in the 19th century, because we're talking about the middle of the 19th century, has anything to do with that?
Well, obviously, you know, if you look at the conflict itself, and if you look at the situation of Poland at the time the conflict erupted,
what was the situation? Can you tell the listeners?
Yeah, Poland, you know, had been petitioned end of the 18th century, and Russia was one of the aggressors petitioning Poland, except Austria-Hungary and Germany, and the Crimean War was used by Polish independent circles. And obviously, Poland pushed for independence. In 1830, there was that uprising, which was quenched by the Russians. A lot of Poles were sent to Siberia, obviously, Polish patriots. And a lot of Polish patriots emigrated to France, to Great Britain. And from there, they tried to push the agenda for Poland's independence. And this conflict was actually used by the Poles to try to regain independence and undermine the position of Russia.
Indeed. So that was a very interesting situation. I must say, when I look at European history, for me, it looks like a series of stars. Some are rising and some are falling. They're happening at different speeds, at different spaces, at periods of time. But it's very interesting. I mean, if you go back to 1683, which was when Poland defeated the Turks, the Ottoman Empire, as it was known then, the Turks were sort of in decline from then. Unfortunately, 100 years after, the same fate befell Poland, because Poland's situation at the end of the 18th century was also in decline. And the ascending star, of course, at that time, at the end of the 18th, beginning of the 19th, of course, was Russia, which was starting to expand against Poland. And then it turned out later against Turkey. So in many ways, this conflict was a sign of Russia asserting its position. Interesting. Tell me, does the Museum of the Second World War at all reflect on the Crimean War?
Basically, we deal with the Second World War, and that's our focus. And the Crimean War subject appeared when we decided to call World Battlefield Museums Forum. It actually, you know, was brought to the attention of the museum when we started to work with National Army Museum in London. Marvelous experts telling marvelous stories about Crimean War. We managed to convince them to record some material for us. And actually, on the Crimean podcast, on the Crimean radio show, we've got wonderful people from National Army Museum telling us the story from as if from where it happened. Because they have, you know, a number of marvelous, fantastic artifacts coming from the Crimean War. And through these artifacts, they tell the story in the program.
So in many ways, the fact that the story of the Crimean War didn't really impact Poland has reflected on the way it's demonstrated or not demonstrated in Polish museums. But from a British point of view, Crimea was immensely important, so hence there is so much knowledge on the subject. You were saying about the World Battlefield Forum. Could you tell us a few words about that? Because you said you had this idea about this forum. Could you tell us something about it, please?
Well, this originated in 2018 when the former director, Dr. Karol Nawrocki, had this idea. Okay, let's have this, you know, World Battlefields Museums Forum, because Westerplatte new museum development is going to start any month now. So let's get these people together in Gdansk at our museum and let's share their experiences about different battlefields and how they are commemorated and what has to be done for a battlefield to tell the story to the general public and to address the needs of growing commercial tourism. So the first edition was in 2018 and we decided to continue with it. Of course, pandemic came in the way.
Absolutely.
But, you know, next year we hope to have a physical forum again here in Gdansk with people invited from Europe, from the world, to continue telling their stories about the battlefields.
And so how many battlefields are currently involved in the whole project?
I mean, the first edition gathered about, you know, 8-10 institutions from around the world, including Gettysburg Foundation from the USA, or Pearl Harbor Museum from Hawaii. We had Verdun, we had Waterloo, we had museums from the Czech Republic and from Slovakia, Turkey as well, and China as well, telling about their battles. The forum that did not happen because of the pandemic was meant to host about 30 institutions from around the world. 30 institutions from around the world. And what is even more important, we would have a representative from every continent in the world, excluding obviously Arctica and Antarctica, and that would have been quite a forum.
Well, that's something to work towards.
Yeah, and next year we will be trying to obviously get as many people to come as possible. We'll see what the situation is, but the decision for now is that next year we are going ahead with the proper forum in Gdansk here.
But instead of the forum, that's how we came together on our project. We started preparing these audio programs, which are available on the Museum of the Second World War website and are also available on the Radio Gdansk website very shortly. But if you're not patient, please stay tuned. In the next 10 or 15 minutes, you'll be able to listen to the next show. But I think these programs actually have created a new quality into the forum. What's your view on that?
I think this is a marvelous project, because I think, you know, in a way, it's a groundbreaking project in Poland. Definitely, I don't know about Europe, mm-hmm. because we got all these people, experts on single battles, telling their story in a series of radio shows. Each show is about 26-30 minutes, and each show is organized around a certain scheme. So we have people from the Museum of the Second World War talking about the battles. We have independent experts talking about the general background, and we also have witness accounts, archival material. So I think we have created a new quality, mm-hmm. In telling about battlefields, in spreading the knowledge about the battlefields, and in asking questions about what it is to commemorate a battlefield, because I think that the knowledge is slowly
penetrating
into general public's consciousness that a battlefield is in fact like an indoor museum, only it's outdoors. And when you go to a battlefield, you expect to learn the story, you expect to learn the facts about the battle, but not only the facts, you're also trying to understand what the people fighting the battle felt, how they were, and you know, what was this suffering for. And this question we are trying to address during the World Battlefield Museums Forum, but also I think it's an underlying thought in a series of Radio Gdańsk and Museum of the Second World War battlefield programs.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, we're very lucky that we're able to listen to the squeaky clean, perfect sounding programs. But of course, we all know, and I need to share this with our listeners, that before a program actually is aired, there's quite a lot of work and a lot of technical issues. Could you tell us about some of the problems of getting some of this material from the cooperating organizations?
Oh yeah, that was quite a challenge, I have to say, that, and you know that, because we initially thought that we would be able to wrap up the whole series in about 3-4 months, and obviously the project's been going on for a year, and there's still one show to do. So I would like to thank our World Battlefield Museum partners, because what we did is we asked them to at their museum, sit down anywhere, okay, record the material, okay, and obviously it was a challenge because not everyone has an access to this, you know, professional radio studio to exactly. record the material, and they recorded those materials on different types of devices. The material was great because obviously all those people are enthusiasts about their subjects and about their battles, but you know, there was this whole post-production phase when, you know, the Radio Gdańsk technicians had to, you know, brush up and polish the material to make it ready for broadcasting on the radio. So this was a great challenge, but it worked. I'm surprised how well it worked, and I'm surprised with the effects, because the I believe that the shows are great.
Well, I hope so, and you'll be able to listen to them very shortly. Straight after this programme, you'll be able to listen to the nearest programme, which will be on the Crimea. And we come back to the Crimea now. One very famous person, of course, that people in the UK know very well, and are surprised that if this person is not known outside. Tell me, how well is Florence Nightingale known in Poland?
Again, I think a lot of people would know Florence Nightingale. You know, popular history enthusiasts, they would know Florence Nightingale. But others may not know her. And, you know, as we know, she was this iconic figure for the Crimean War. Probably, you know, if you talk about Florence Nightingale, you have to think in Poland about, I don't know, Marie Curie-Skłodowska.
Probably, yes.
Same status.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Florence Nightingale, for a Crimean War, did a great job in terms of understanding human suffering. Because from what I know, when she came to the Crimea, she straight away started caring about the soldiers dying from disease even more than from battle wounds. Mm-hmm. And she transformed the whole understanding of the battlefield medicine and caring about the sick and the wounded. And I think, you know, I understand why she's such an iconic figure in Britain. And she was also the lady with this acute mind. From what I know, she even used statistical charts to present to the British General Command the situation on the front. And she really, really was involved into trying to change the fate of those, you know, poor, miserable creatures coming from the front to the tents, to the hospital tents, and dying there, you know, by the score.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's not only in the UK, it's actually across the English-speaking world. I had a very interesting conversation with Mary Garofalo, who is from the National Nursing Institute in Maryland in the US. And from their perspective, Florence Nightingale, she's almost a founding father, or I should maybe say founding mother, of the whole nursing profession. They, to this very day, talk about her methodology, her statistical work, her care, but also how she wasn't just a great nurse and a great statistician, but she was a great politician. She knew how to use her knowledge in forcing politicians to make changes. And it was a very interesting marriage of talents, that it wasn't just that she was this modest nurse that was doing her job really well, as I think 99.9% of nurses actually do, but she was also able to project this and implement changes which are resonating to this very day. So it's interesting. I think we can also tell our listeners that if they ever do visit the UK, if they put their hands into their wallets and take out, I believe it's a £10 note, you will see Florence Nightingale on there. So that proves exactly how right you
sure,
are.
Sure, sure. That shows the status in a British speaking world. And obviously, I think this is, you know, the care for the wounded and the sick. It did not actually come through until, you know, maybe the second part of the 19th century. And generally, the Battle of Solferino is maybe understood as the battle. The Battle of Solferino is understood as the battle that changed the perspective, looking at the sick and wounded, looking at the medical treatment on the battlefield. But I think actually that it happened a few years before, during the Crimean War, with what Florence Nightingale did.
Fascinating. I have another question, if I may. The Crimean campaign came about because a number of countries wanted to stop Russian expansionism in that part of the world. Have we learnt anything 150 years on?
If you look at what's happening now, it's probably, you know, history repeating itself. And this is the motto that goes out towards the end of each programme. If we don't understand history, we will repeat it. And obviously, Crimea has always been this inflammatory region for politics, because of its position, because of its position in controlling the Black Sea, because of its natural resources. So it's always been boiling in a way in terms of politics and war. And it's happening today with Russia's aggression against Crimea again.
Well, thank you very much for listening. I want to thank our guests. Our guests today were Karol Szejko from the Museum of the Second World War and Justin Maciejewski from the National Army Museum in London. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you and have a good day, listeners.